Welcome, friends, to the Health Ranger Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com. And today, I have a very special guest for you, a man named Peter Ragnar. And Peter is an extraordinary individual. And I think the best way to introduce him is not yet to talk about all of the achievements and all the books that he's written and all the public speaking that he's done, but rather to ask him a question and allow you to meet him in his answer to that question. So, Peter, are you with me today?
I'm certainly with you, Mike.
Well, thanks for joining me on the show. And I'm going to ask you this question right up front. You talk about health transformation, and you've lived it. You teach it to thousands and thousands of people. What do you think is the primary shift in a person's belief system that needs to take place for them to be able to unleash the kind of healing that you demonstrate?
Beautiful question, Mike, and I appreciate your asking that. When we look at health, and everybody talks about health. I mean, I don't care where they're coming from. They're talking about, I'd like to be more healthy. Well, what does that actually mean? Is health a state of equilibrium where you're not sick, but you're not really vibrantly filled with vitality? For a lot of people, that seems to be their definition of health. Now, that's where I differ. My definition of health is a moving wall. In other words, it's not about sickness. I never think about sickness. I never think about disease. I never think about those debilitating problems that so many people suffer from. I want to know how high on the mountain I can climb. How high can we go? Health is just not the absence of disease, but it's attaining a state of incredible vitality, energy levels beyond your comprehension, and also an expanded state of consciousness. In other words, your conscious awareness starts to encompass everything around you, your atmosphere, your environment. It reaches out and it touches plants and people and animals, birds. That I see as an ultimate level of the high achievement of what health really ought to be. Now, people think that, okay, I want to be healthy so I don't die.
Right.
Well, if that's all it is, it's not much.
No. But how would you suggest a person begin this journey? I mean, where you're coming from, you live very close to nature, both spiritually and physically. You live among many plants and animals. You've been on this journey for many, many years. But let's talk about a person who's working in a cubicle under fluorescent lights in a city, and this is all new to them. How do they set foot upon that path? When they hear you talk and they say, that sounds wonderful, but I'm stuck in this cubicle, how do they free themselves from that?
Utmost empathy and compassion for someone in that position, because really I've been there also. And then I realized that it was a matter of prioritizing my values. What is really important to me? Start to identify your values. Conscious life should be your highest value. To be consciously aware of who and what you are. And if that is your highest value, what it requires in its comprehension is some time. Now, if your lifestyle is so fast, it's spinning in a blinding blur, my advice for beginners is to find ways to slow down what you're doing. Now, back in the 1900s, at the turn of the century, there was a German physiologist that his name was Max Rubner, and Dr. Rubner came up with a theory called the rate of living theory. And it's basically the slower you live your life, the more life you have, the more vitality you have in your days. And it's a matter of prioritizing. You know, if I get up in the morning and I have a lot of things to do, I figure out what is this thing that sits before me today. Now, this isn't something new. I did this years and years and years ago. I did it when I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes I would drive 100 miles to go to work. I'd work all day and drive all the way home, and I'd be so tired I'd be going, almost falling asleep at the steering wheel. But I also realized that I needed to start to get my life in order and start realizing what the priorities were. What is it? What is the most important thing? Well, if conscious life is the most important thing, then how do I enhance it? How do I savor it? How do I support it? How do I preserve it? Well, the first thing is unclutter your life. Make lists of your priorities. What's the most important thing that you need to do today? Do that first, And you know, you'll find that it's usually the most difficult thing that you've been putting off. Do it first, get it out of the way, so you don't even have to think about it. I have a law that it's a law to me. You know, it's not an unspoken law or anything like that, no big deal. But to me, it's a law, and it's called a single handling rule. As an example, when I get stuff that comes across my desk, and goodness knows I get stuff from thousands and thousands of people, if I get a bill, the minute I open that bill, it's paid. It goes into my mail bag to the mailbox. Whenever I get anything important, it's either important or it's irrelevant. If it's irrelevant, it goes to the trash pile. If it's important, I take care of it right now, and I put things in a level of priority. That's why I have all this time. I have time to walk in the woods. I've got time to meditate. I've got time to think about my health, and I've got time to exercise.
How about your nutrition and diet? You eat almost entirely raw, unprocessed living foods. Some people would say that it's difficult for them to fit that kind of diet into their lifestyle, and they're stuck on the microwave or the toaster or the drive-through, and they would say that, you know, fast food is all I have time for. What would you say to folks like that who are ready to make some changes?
You do the most amount of good and the least amount of harm, and do not get beat up by guilt. It's a journey, and it's a process. You don't get to the top of the mountain overnight. Now, there are some people that have exceptional ability, they have exceptional discipline and perseverance, and they have an uncanny tenacity, and they are the rare individuals. They can do that. They can say, tomorrow, nothing but raw food, 100%. Now, my take on this is that I've seen a lot of people who have attempted that. They don't stick with it. I've been a raw food advocate. I've been telling people about raw foods for decades. But even for myself, it was a gradual evolution into it. First, you start thinking, what's the healthiest thing I can eat today? Okay, you know, if it's cooked, it's still healthy. Well, you know, some people will argue about it. I'm not talking about a religion. You know, don't make food a religion.
Uh-huh.
Just endeavor to do your best. And all of a sudden, you get the confidence that you can do more, and you can do more, and you can do more. And then one day, all of a sudden, you discover that all I want to eat is these beautiful raw salads and these incredible recipes that your sense of taste starts to change. And I think the biggest frustration people have, they don't know what to eat. Is, well, if I've got to just eat an apple or just subsist on salads, that's going to be pretty boring.
But Peter, we're going to go to a break here. Now, we'll be right back after this break, but I want to make sure I give out your web address here. It's www.roaringlionpublishing.com, and on that website, you can find Peter Ragnar's numerous books. He has many outstanding books, also a free ebook that you can download there, and free samples of his newsletter. So check that out online at roaringlionpublishing.com. You're listening to an exclusive interview here with Peter Ragnar on the Health Ranger Show, and we'll be right back after this break with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Health Ranger Show, friends. I hope you're enjoying this exclusive interview with Peter Ragnar. His website is roaringlionpublishing.com. That's R-O-A-R-I-N-G-L-I-O-N, like a lion, and publishing.com. You can find his books on that website and free samples of his newsletter. Lots of great information from Peter Ragnar. He's an individual who's quite a legend in the advanced nutrition circles, certainly in the raw food circles and many others. Now, for this segment, Peter, I've got a question to ask you to lead off here. What do you think is different energetically about living foods or wild foods versus processed foods? Beyond the chemistry, beyond the molecules, what's different energetically?
Well, it's very interesting. Years ago, they came up with an apparatus that measures the vitality of a food. As an example, if you have a food that is high in its natural sugars and it's growing in your garden, you're not going to have insects on that plant. In other words, you have no pest problems whatsoever because the vibration of that food is so high, it is absorbing so many photons, which are the subatomic particles of light, that if any insect was happened to land upon it, they basically fall off like an alcoholic off a curb. Now, they measure this by the amount of radiation or light radiation that comes off a plant, and it can be registered by what's called a Brix meter or a reflectometer, and it gives a rating. Brix is simply a rating of how healthy that food is in life force. Now, here's the difference. Dead food has no life force. Live food has tremendous life force. And life gives life. Life begets life. Foods, they don't contribute anything. Well, I mean, they'll contribute some minerals and a few things like that. And I know people have been eating them for thousands of years. But again, when we started this discussion, we're talking about not just not getting sick, but we're talking about optimal levels of vitality, of really having tremendously high energy. The higher the energy you have, the more vibrantly you'll live, the more alive you'll feel, the more you'll want to be alive.
Do you think that society is ready to make a shift in terms of its understanding of science? Because science has so far said that a dead food is identical to a living food because it has the same molecules. I mean, do you think that the scientific community at some point is going to make that shift and start to recognize the qualitative differences in living foods versus processed foods?
Definitely. I mean, a funny situation. I was buying, at this time is, you know, winter time, and I had bought some organic carrots, and I had a whole bunch of in my cart. And so this new guy is checking me out at the market, and he said, what are you going to do with those? And I said, I'm going to juice them. And he said, what are you going to do that for? And I said, because it has a lot of vitality. And he says, you know, you must be one of those health nuts. Yes, I'm one of those health nuts. And so he went on. He said, you know, my grandfather, he smoked and he drank and he all his life, and he lived to be 90. And I said, I'm so sorry that he died so prematurely. I said, son, how old are you? And he said, well, I'm 34. And I said, I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. I said, give me my groceries. I said, the difference between... Now, you want to know the difference?
Yes.
The difference would be, Mike, me standing there as a senior citizen and this kid and the vitality level between the two of us, there wasn't a bit of comparison.
Sure.
When you eat things that are filled with light and life, with the energy of the earth, you start to glow like the sun, because what you're doing, you're picking up these solar photons right out of the food. Dead food doesn't have it. Oh, yeah, everything's made out of molecules and atoms, but here's the difference. When you get iron out of spinach, can you get the same degree of iron out of a nail? Here, son, eat the nail.
Exactly. I also want to give people the context of where you're coming from in this conversation, because the people listening to this show are only hearing your voice. They're not seeing you, and they don't know your chronological age. Now, I know you don't reveal that because it's not really relevant, but I do want to let people know that you were born many, many decades ago, and if you had followed a different path of eating processed foods and not being healthy, then your physical body would have certainly perished a long, long time ago. Is that a fair way to state that?
That's very fair, Mike, and that's a very nice compliment. I appreciate that.
Well, it's interesting because your voice carries a lot of vitality, and this is what I see and hear in people who follow a very healthy lifestyle. But it can be deceptive to a listener because they think you might only be, you know, 45 years old or something, because that's what your voice sounds like. You sound very energized, very strong.
Well, again, it's all vitality, and I believe it is a vitality game. It's the same thing with my workouts. When I have a workout in my gym, I'm doing things that I only dreamed about doing when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, whatever the age. And I've worked out my whole life. But now I'm finally hitting new horizons. I just get so excited. I mean, if I can't outperform anybody in their 20s and 30s, I'm saying, wait a minute. What's wrong? Go back and reevaluate the program. Let's get your butt in gear.
Well, this brings me to your book. I want to mention this one. It's called The Art and Science of Physical Invincibility. And this can be found on the website roaringlionpublishing.com. And Peter, you sent me a copy of this book to review, and I'm just so impressed by it. It's not just about physical training. It's about physical enhancement with energy, with breathing, with grounding, with chi energy, with magnets. We've only got about a minute left, but can you give us a brief background of that book?
Oh, boy. In a minute?
Well, no. We can continue after we come back, but give us a hint.
If you were to take all the ancient secrets and apply them with a modern viewpoint, and digest them and then produce a way to work out and spiritualize your workouts, you got it.
That's what's in the book.
That's what's in the book. Basically, it's taking the physical body and spiritualizing the physical body through workouts.
All right, now we're going to continue this exclusive interview with Peter Ragnar here on the Health Ranger Show when we come back. Be sure to check out his free ebook at roaringlionpublishing.com and stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more. Welcome back to the Health Ranger Show. Thanks for joining us again, and I hope you're enjoying this interview with Peter Ragnar from Roaring Lion Publishing. And his book, The Art and Science of Physical Invincibility, has become one of the top manuals, the Bible for really core strength, not just physical strength, but energy strength and spiritual strength. And my question to you, Peter, to lead off this segment is, do you find that perhaps people come to you interested in physical strength, but then they evolve and they get into new realms of spiritual strength that they didn't even expect to encounter?
Oh, absolutely, Mike. Everybody that's listening to this broadcast right now, everybody out there, they would not be listening to this. They wouldn't be hearing our voices in this discussion if they didn't have a deep-seated desire to continue in their evolutionary enlightenment. In other words, to be the best that they can be at being human. When we become totally, fully human, which very few people are, oddly enough.
Oh, that's an interesting statement. I'll ask you about that more.
When we seek to be truly human, we transcend the physical barriers in so many areas of our life. We transcend the mental barriers. We transcend the emotional barriers. In other words, we gain empowerment or a sense of freedom. And in that sense, you could call it a sense of invincibility. There's a deep-seated core feeling of invincibility, and we don't know what it is, but we know that we have it when we start striking the flint and the steel together, and we start seeing the sparks. And we say, wait a minute, I'm not just here for, you know, 60, 70, 80 years and to drop dead and be thrown into a hole and covered with dirt. I'm here to do something. I'm here to manifest my light and illuminate the world. Now, this may not be a conscious desire for a lot of people, but it is seeded in the subconscious. It's seeded within each person hearing my voice right now. And that force, that magnetism, that attraction field is exactly why I have the contact with the people that I do. You know, a lot of people come to me because they say, oh, you know, he's a martial art master. He's an expert in this and expert in that. Well, you know, those are just things that I do. You know, I do those things more like entertainment.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm really about is the development of personal excellence and being all that we can be. Seeking to be truly human.
I think that's one of the greatest parts of the experience of learning from you, Peter, through your books, through your DVDs. You have numerous DVDs available through which you teach people. And the experience is like this. You think you're learning one thing. You go in to one of your books or DVDs, and you think it's about X, let's say. But then once you're introduced to X, which might be magnetic qigong or physical invincibility, then the layers start to unfold. And you realize, oh, it's about X squared. Now it's about X cubed, and it's X to the 10th power. And then there are all these higher levels and layers that unfold in what you teach. And you end up realizing that it's all very purpose-driven. And that's what I really appreciate about your materials, Peter.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, when people really get into your materials, inevitably they come across your philosophy on longevity or immortality. And I'm wondering, could you give a brief introduction of your belief systems about aging, death, immortality? I mean, I know this is only a one-hour show, but maybe a little hint of what's in there.
You know, Mike, this stuff is so juicy. And the first thing I think we need to realize is that a lot of folks have already built in reservations, preconceived ideas. Now, I'm not saying that people are conscious of these. Now, some people are. But it's so easy to have a knee-jerk reaction to new ideas and new possibilities, especially when we start talking about radical life extension. But, you know, this goes back a long way. I remember asking my grandmother, I guess it was back in the 1940s there sometime, and I said, Grandma, why do people die? Why do we die? And she said, well, I guess we die because we get sick. Well, you know, she died, my uncle died, and I asked my grandpa, I said, Grandpa, why do we die? And he said, well, I guess because we get sick. And, of course, then he died. And I asked my father, and he said, well, I guess because we get sick. And he died, and I asked my mother, and she said, I guess because we get sick. And she died. And I discovered that, wait a minute, time is not toxic. There is nothing toxic about time. There is nothing about pulling the calendar pages off the wall that will cause you to die. You die because you get sick. Now, what do you do when you get sick? You start to degenerate. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, pneumonia, all of these things. Nobody dies from old age. They die from diseases, or they die from a lapse of consciousness, which causes an accident. And I said, well, now, wait a minute. If a disease can be healed and time is not toxic, how long would you live? Well, I guess, I concluded, as long as you want to. Well, how long would you want to live? Well, you'd want to live as long as you could if life was exciting and interesting and you had new frontiers to explore and you had a passion about living, if you actually had a passion for life that you loved life. Yeah, then you would do everything in your power to charge up your body to stay alive. Now, how long can it stay alive? Well, that's yet to be established. Back in 1900, people died at the average age of 46. Now people are living to close to 80. But is that the limits of our longevity? There are people that live vast spans of life. But the point is, there are two different beliefs. You've got a mortality belief and you've got an immortality belief. The mortality belief says the passing of time leads to disease which causes death.
And this belief is really strongly ingrained in our society today, and it's taught by the medical community. I recall having a conversation with a doctor, an MD, about degenerative diseases. And his opinion and his training told him that the body just falls apart as it gets old, much like an automobile falls apart, that you have to replace the parts or it will be destroyed. And I think people believe that because they see it around them. They see other individuals falling apart, and they think it's because of time, not because of lifestyle choices. Would you agree with that assessment?
Here's what I'd like to say about that, Mike. Not too far from me, every year they have some car shows, antique car shows. Some of these cars were built back in the 1920s. They have been kept in immaculate condition, perfect condition. They operate and run just like they did when they came off the showroom floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other cars that came off the assembly line just a few years ago, and you see them along the side of the road as wrecks. It's the same way with people. It's the care and the maintenance of this incredibly magnificent human body. You see, people die because they get sick. Cars break down because they're not maintained. And if we maintain the body, what's the difference between a carburetor and a spleen? There's not a heck of a lot of difference except the fact that the carburetor can't regenerate itself. The spleen can. Our body reproduces itself over and over and over again. Every single cell in our body is always being renewed.
Okay, Peter, we're going to have to go to a break here again. Sorry to interrupt, but we're going to take a quick break. And you're listening to an interview with Peter Ragnar from RoaringLionPublishing.com. We'll be right back after this break with more great information about longevity and immortality. Stay with us. Welcome back. You're listening to the Health Ranger Show and a fascinating interview about health, longevity, invincibility even, from Peter Ragnar. He's the author of numerous books and DVDs, an expert in the martial arts, an expert in magnetic qigong. You've got to check out his website, folks, RoaringLionPublishing.com. You'll find a free downloadable ebook on that website and free samples of his outstanding newsletter, so be sure to check those out. Now, before the break, Peter, we were talking about longevity or immortality versus mortality and the car metaphor. And you were describing some of the parts of a car, how they relate to the parts in the body. Do you think that doctors who are practicing conventional medicine today will ever subscribe to the views of longevity and immortality that you espouse and that you live? Or is that just too radical for current scientific thinking?
It's radical until they listen to their peers. It's radical until more and more people come over to this side of thinking, and that's happening. It's happening more and more. That there's an anti-aging revolution going on in this country. I mean, all I have to do is check out some of the prestige medical doctors at the American Academy of Aging Medicine, and they'll realize that there are the doctors that are evolving, and there are the doctors that are stagnant. Now, look, if you're in the business to replace auto parts, every car is a problem. Every car needs something replaced. If you've got a body shop and you're a surgeon, every organ needs replacement. How do you make your living?
Exactly.
Now, where they're in the dark is that over and over and over again, the brightest minds of science, our best biologists, our best and greatest gerontologists, they are baffled by our mortality, and they're more and more looking at radical life extension. In other words, when they look at the body, the human body, what do they see? They see an organism that is self-correcting, self-directed, self-generating, self-repairing, and the only thing that baffles them is why it dies. They do not have any idea why the body should die. It should go on living forever and ever and ever. Now, there is something, and this is one of the things that I address, that is very radical. And hold on, folks, fasten your seatbelts when you listen to this. I believe that your beliefs support either life or death. Your beliefs are either life-enhancing or death-embracing. And that's pretty profound. But time and time again, people who want to live, no matter, I see people, they're riddled with cancer, they've been given just weeks to live, and they say, I don't believe that. I defy that. And somehow they go in remission, and it goes away. Now, what is it? You know, it may not be totally diet, but they start doing things, they start living differently, and their life changes. I've seen it over and over and over again. You know, I had a funny story. One of my students, she came here when she was about 92 or 93, and so she'd come to my seminars. And, you know, every year or so she'd go through this insanity, well, you know, I'm going to die. And I'd put my other hat on, and I would say, you're not going to die. What's the matter with you, this stupid thinking? I said, you're going to live as long as you want to live. Well, I said, okay. So she lives another year. And then another year, then we go through the same little procedure again. And I said, now get your head straight. You're not going to die. And she keeps on going, and every year she postpones death. And the last time she was 99 years old, and I'm still telling her, I said, listen, I'm telling you, you can live as long as you want to live, as long as you make this commitment to life. If you believe what the anti-lifers are telling you, if you believe that all of these lies about the human body, that body can't go on, then you will make that a reality. You have to use up every ounce of your life force and willpower to demand death, and death doesn't even cooperate at that.
That's right. There's a lot of momentum in health. I mean, the human body wants to heal itself, and you can't stop it from healing itself. It's a self-repairing mechanism. I've got another question for you along those lines. It's not only what people believe, but it's also who they believe, isn't it? Because if they believe what a doctor tells them, they believe in that symbol of authority, then they actually can have what I call a reverse placebo effect if the doctor tells them something like, you only have 6 months to live. They can manifest that.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Beliefs kill you, not germs, not toxins, not tumors. Beliefs kill you. One of the great placebo effects that was well documented in the annals of medicine was one by Dr. Bruno Kalfer, and this was in the scientific paper called The Veritables in Human Cancer. Now, in that paper, Kalfer describes how a terminally ill man had his tumors, and I quote, melt like snowballs on a hot stove when he was given an experimental drug, which happened to be crebiocin, which he believed in. He thought it was very efficacious, and it was a belief. I mean, he was given up to die, and his tumors melted, as again, like snowballs on a hot stove. Of course, then when he read the medical literature, which he shouldn't have been reading, that said that it was a worthless drug, it was a placebo, his cancer came back, and it killed him. So that was a negative belief. It was a negative placebo. But just think of this. Listen, they have found studies that placebos can be 56% more powerful than morphine. Now, what does that tell you? I mean, that's the power of the mind. Consider this. Look, you got a stage hypnotist, and you may have seen this, you know, somewhere along the line. He has a volunteer on stage. He hypnotizes the volunteer. He takes an ice cube, puts the ice cube in the palm of that person's hand. The hypnotist then suggested that it was a hot coal. The person opens their hand, and there's a mild blister on the palm of the hand. Now, everybody knows that it was simply an ice cube. How can you get a real blister from holding an ice cube, except if you believe that it was a hot coal? What kind of power? I mean, this is, Mike, this type of power that we have as humans is totally untapped today. We have the power over life and death of our physical body.
Aren't there also documented cases of people with multiple personalities where in one expression of their personality they are diabetic and they have high blood sugar? In another expression of their personality, just minutes later, they're non-diabetic and they have completely normal blood sugar. That tells you a lot about the nature of mind over body.
Oh, boy. Absolutely. Listen, these are not anecdotal things from somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. These are scientifically documented that the power that we have over the physical body has yet to be totally realized. And this is what I'm saying. When you couple that with healthy nutrition, when you couple that with clean air and pure water, when you couple that with a stress-free lifestyle, when you couple that with a life that really matters to you and you've got something to do and you're excited about it, how can you die? How can you die?
I'm glad you mentioned the hypnosis example, because I would suggest here, and I'd like your comments on this, we have about another minute left, that I would suggest that the population is subsisting in a state of constant hypnosis about their own health, that most people are hypnotized, and what we need to be is de-hypnotized.
That's the whole point. It's basically, it's disinfecting the mind. We have been given these messages ever since we were so tall. And what's interesting, the first 7 years of our life, according to child psychologists, everything we hear, we believe is truth. Everything we hear our parents talking about, we believe as though the absolute truth. Until later in life, we start to form our own judgment assessments of what's going on. You know, I mean, you know, when you're 5 years old, you're believing in Santa Claus, but when you're 10 years old, you say, your little brother or little sister, now that's really not Santa Claus.
Okay, but, Peter, we've got to wrap up this show now. Any final thoughts you want to put in here?
Well, yes. Our physical bodies are composed of thoughts. Change the thoughts, and the body's structure and its function will change. And it's all within your power. You can have anything you want, as long as you know what it is.
All right, folks, you've been listening to an interview with Peter Ragnar. You can find his information, his books, his DVDs, and more about his philosophy that you just got a taste of here during this show on his website, www.roaringlionpublishing.com. Be sure to sign up for his free newsletter sample and download some of his free ebooks. He's got a number of items on his website that I encourage you to check out. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. I certainly have. Thanks for joining me today, Peter, and we'll talk to you all again here on the Health Ranger Show. Until then, take care of your health.